This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. In that first hour, we were talking about the controversy brewing at BU after reports came out that they had developed a COVID strain that was much deadlier than the original strain. They're saying that's misleading and untrue. We also talked about John Fetterman and how his wife is very upset that NBC News's Dasha Burns did some accurate reporting about her jarring interaction with him. And one of my texters just pointed out, and I'm so glad they did. I want to give credit here. Oh, 917 said, Curley, Fetterman's problems increase. CNN reports he lies on fracking. I did see that earlier, but I'm glad I got the reminder. Here was the headline from CNN of all places. You know, reporting real news, Jared, it's contagious. Once one person starts it, everybody wants to get in on it. This is from CNN. John Fetterman said he always supported fracking. He previously said, I don't and never have. Whew. Someone should tell CNN that that's called evolving, okay? I don't know what they're trying to. They're trying to insinuate, Jared, that he's a flip-flopper or that he's lying. And what I will say is, does he have some folksy tendencies like Joe Biden to spin yarn into tall tales? Sure he does. Does he like to shave the truth like all good Democrats? Absolutely. But why is CNN, what are they going to be, the police over here? Keeping track of all of his previous statements like he's Donald J. Trump? Get out of here with that. Bill, you're next up with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bill.
How you doing, Grace?
I'm good. What's going on?
I'd like to, I'm thinking of a little perspective on the Fetterman situation. I mean, if he were a pilot, would he be cleared to fly right now? If he were a doctor or a surgeon? Would he be cleared for surgery right now?
No.
Or drive a city bus?
No.
Is he even cleared to drive a car?
I don't.
I wouldn't want to be on a plane. So I'm wondering, you know, somebody has to ask these questions. If he can't do any of that stuff, are you going to put millions of citizens into the hands of this guy who can't speak properly?
And you know what the sad part of this is, Bill, is that it should be kind of like a non-problem, you know, because voters should see this man struggling and say, all right, well, maybe I don't agree with Dr. Oz on everything, but at least he's competent. At least he can, you know, at least he's not struggling with his health right now. But I don't think voters even operate like that anymore. I think people just go based off, a lot of people just go based off little alerts on their phone and they find out who Nancy Pelosi supports or they find out who Joe Biden supports and they just go in and vote for that person no matter what. And I guess you could say it goes both ways, but Republicans don't even do that. Republicans hem and haw and say, well, you know, technically there was that story that came out. You know, when it comes to Fetterman, this should be a non-starter. The man has a problem. And what's really sad, and this kind of brings me back to Jill Biden, is that his wife, Giselle, who now wants to play the victim and she wants to blame everybody but herself. She's blaming NBC, you know, and the reporter at Rolling Stone had to delete their tweet. And she's offended that anyone is saying anything bad about her husband. Look in the mirror, Giselle. You're this guy's wife. You're supposed to look out for him. And instead, you're doing the same thing Jill Biden said. It must be like the pursuit of power. I want to be a senator's wife. So I'm allowing this to continue. Any normal good wife would say, listen, this is not what's best for you right now. Maybe in a few years, you know, maybe we'll try this again. But I don't know how anyone would put someone they love through this. I really don't. And by the way, one more thing on that Jill Biden story, because I forgot kind of the main part of it. I got so distracted by Michael LaRosa and going back to the breakfast tacos that I forgot that the reason this is getting a lot of play on other outlets, including the New York Post, is the fact that, according to the New York Times, following one of Joe Biden's most controversial pressers, remember the one where he suggested that Russia would only face a muted U.S. response for a minor incursion into Ukraine, the minor incursion press conference. According to this report, after that press conference, Jill Biden went in and, you know, to some of the top people who were discussing, watching the tapes, like, you know, like a football coach, and saying, where do you think this one went wrong? I don't know. What about you? And they're going over the plays. And she went in and she popped into the meeting and she pointedly asked the group, which included the president, why nobody stepped in to stop it, according to a person who was in the room. Where was the person, she demanded, who was supposed to end the news conference? You know, if I was in a room, and I guess, like, she vetted a lot of Joe Biden's people, also concerning that she's vetting people at the White House. Dr. B.
In a room.
I know she could have been our next Surgeon General, but it's still concerning to me that she's in charge of vetting people at the White House. But I wanted to add in here that if I'm sitting in that room, you know, and I'm getting yelled at by Dr. Jill and she says why nobody stepped in to stop it, I would look right at her and say, why didn't you step in to stop this? Where do you come into play, lady? When do you, you know, pipe in and maybe stop this train before it goes off the rails, Miss Wife of the Year? You have anything to say as far as that goes, or is it just our
teacher, what do you see?
Oh, it would be a cold day in hell that I got lectured on, you know, doing a bad job by Dr. Jill Biden. That would be, that would not pass the smell test for me. Thomas, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hey, I worked in Pennsylvania in 2020. On what was called a cracker plant. It was a 100% union job. The number of electricians employed on that project were 1,100. I've worked in 13 states, actually 14 states in this country now, as an electrician in the union. The biggest project I ever worked on prior to that with electricians was 750 at the Boeing field in Everett, Washington, starting in 1992. And that part of western Pennsylvania was in Monaca, Pennsylvania, near Beaver, Pennsylvania. They're going to build a couple of other cracker plants, which uses the process called fracking, where they go down to the Marcellus Shale and they bring up natural gas. And I'm looking at an article here of Fetterman in 2016, where he, during a Senate race, his words, the industry is a stain on our state and natural resources. And he's flip-flopping. And I don't understand why trade unions back candidates that say we're going to ban fracking, knowing the amount of money it puts into their benefit packages, you know, as well as their trust funds. I'm not against alternative energy such as wind and solar. I think those are good things. They're also heavily subsidized by the federal government. That project in Monaca, Pennsylvania, was financed by private money, and the price tag was $6 billion. It was the largest construction project in North America at that time in 2020, 386 acres. There had to be at least 25 tower cranes on that project. It was just enormous. And I just don't get it. I really don't. That I think people have just gone to a lemming mentality that if an organization tells me to vote this way, if they shut down those other two cracker plants in the future, What is going to happen to those building trades is my question.
Yeah, and you know what, Thomas, and if anyone out there can help me out with this, because first of all, Thomas, thank you for the call and for laying that all out for us. Call back if you ever have any other thoughts on this. But what it made me think of when you talk about these unions and people supporting someone whose agenda very clearly wants to dismantle their job or their way of life, I always think back to the Keystone Pipeline. Chris, remember when Joe Biden, his first day in office, canceled the Keystone Pipeline? There was a group, I think it was a union group, and they had voted for Joe Biden. They had supported Joe Biden, and they came out after his decision and were like, we're really upset by this. We're shocked that Joe Biden would do this. And it's just to what Thomas was saying. He told you he was going to do it. He told you on the debate stage. If you had just done like a tiny bit of research, you would have known he was going to do this. He wasn't trying to hide it. This is part of the far left agenda. And I can't remember the exact name of the group that came out and they were, you know, clutching their pearls after his decision. But I automatically think of that because Thomas is absolutely right. I mean, I don't feel bad for you if your way of life is dependent on fracking and you vote for John Fetterman. That's the end of me feeling bad for you and what's going to come, because that's what you're voting for. Take a little bit of accountability. I feel bad for people who aren't voting for it and who get stuck with the consequences of the liberal nuts in their area. But if you're voting for it, then you get what you pay for. You know, you get what you vote for. That's how it works. 844-500-4242. Also, when we get back, and we'll continue to take calls on this if anyone wants to discuss, I want to talk about this hysterical sound cut and article from this woman, Kate Bennett. And I thought for a while she was going to be press secretary, but she works at the White House and she was on CNN and she's talking about Joe Biden's work from home schedule, because Joe Biden spends a lot of time in Delaware. I guess it's like up to a quarter of his time in the White House, or a quarter of his presidency has been in Delaware. And she put such a spin on this that I don't know if I want to use it already, Jared, for the week, but I might have to. You know what? It's a teaser. It'd be worth it. It was breathtaking. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Call on Grace Curley for family-friendly entertainment.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Yes!
I knew you'd go. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Now, before I play CNN's latest spin on Joe Biden's lack of a work ethic, I want to talk a little bit about the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Our listeners love the Thunderstorm air purifier. One customer texted in, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm has been so great. Hockey season is starting, and you know what that means, driving several hours in the car with my 12-year-old and his stinky hockey bag. I used to actually play hockey, not to make this about myself, but those bags, and I wasn't even working up a sweat. Like, I wasn't one of the better players. I was sitting on the bench a lot, and my bag still stunk. So I can't imagine, if you're really giving it your best shot, how bad your hockey bag must stink. But the Eden Pure Thunderstorm for this listener helped, because now, after two games on a Saturday, we can bring his sweat-soaked equipment into the house rather than letting it freeze in the car. Thanks, Eden Pure. Now, one of Howie's VIPs told us that his wife used to sells used clothing online, really nice stuff, and sometimes the clothes come with lingering smoke or cat smells, so she uses the extension cord and then puts the Eden Pure in a bag with the clothes. All that unpleasant odor is gone. It's also really great just to keep the air fresh if you're cooking, if you have an area in your house that gets a little musty, like your basement. It's a really, really great device. And right now you can get the 3-pack, which is great because it's almost time to start getting ready for gift giving season. So make sure you get your hands on this. You can buy the 3-pack, use a couple for yourself, maybe give one as a gift. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. All right. So at CNN, they're trying to put a spin on how much time Joe Biden is spending at his Delaware home. And so they brought on White House correspondent Kate Bennett, who I guess actually wrote a piece on this. And this is what she wrote. Some 21 months into his term, Biden has made 55 visits to Delaware, totaling some or all of 174 days as of Sunday, according to a CNN analysis. He has now surpassed even the getaway time of former President Donald Trump. Now, Kate Bennett is the White House correspondent, okay? I think she used to work at the White House, but I could have that wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong person.
You may be thinking of Kate Bedingfield.
Yes, yes, you're absolutely right. That's why I was confused here. So this woman just works at CNN. Apologies for that mistake. Now, listen to her spin on why Joe Biden is spending so much time in Delaware. This is cut 11.
You know, a lot of presidents say that living in the White House is luxurious, but it can be sort of that gilded cage. So certainly Joe Biden has always been Amtrak Joe, as he was known in the Senate, goes home a lot. And a president can do their job from anywhere. We said the same thing about Donald Trump. You know, they travel basically with a mobile Oval Office. And quite frankly, our ideas and norms about workplace, work from home have changed since post-pandemic. Maybe Joe Biden just had a better idea of how to model that before we all did. He certainly has enjoyed working from home in Delaware for most of his career, not just his presidency. But at this pace, he is going to probably break the record for modern day presidents who have been in office for spending time at home.
Oh, he's just WFH. He just knows how to be out of the office, but still working. What a pathetic, pathetic spin on this. And by the way, there's so many things I find wrong with this. One is the idea that he's working. I mean, that's just absurd in itself. Does anyone think he's working when he's in the White House, when he's inside the gilded cage, fluttering about, confused? Does anyone think he's really working when he's there, let alone when he gets cut loose and gets to go to Delaware? He's walking around that house in a towel, pulling all the dog's tails. You think he's sitting around saying, oh, hand me the PDB. That's number one. But number two, if I am to suspend my disbelief and pretend that this old man who is busy either trying to sniff people or stick his nose in a softball-sized scoop of ice cream is actually working in Delaware, then I think by that crazy logic that we should at the very least be able to access the visitor logs in Delaware. Doesn't that make sense? If he's doing so much work there that it's his second office, not one of the offices that he was having, you know, that Jim and Hunter were working on and getting keys to those offices. This is a whole separate office. Shouldn't we know who's coming in and out of that office? Just absolutely ridiculous. You know what else you can do from home, though? Speaking of this working from home model. And
Biden is hiding people and sucking the blood of children. And
how wonderful it is for everyone, how wonderful this working from home thing is. KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, was talking about how people are so thrilled. She was reading out some of the reviews about student loan forgiveness and how easy it is to fill out these applications. Take a listen to this. This is cut 24.
But we've seen an overwhelmingly positive response, as well as a strong website performance since we began testing the site this past Friday night. So it's been very positive. Just a few things applicants over the weekend have said about this I want to just lay out so folks can hear. One said it was the easiest application they've ever filled out. Took maybe 60 seconds. That's a quote. Another said, and I quote, I just filled out the student loan forgiveness form in about 1 minute on my phone in my pajamas.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. It's not enough that if you've been busting your hump for the past, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years, that you have to pay for the student loan forgiveness for people who decided to go to college. That's not bad enough. But they can cancel their student loan debt. I'm sorry, they can transfer their student loan debt to you all while in the comfort of their PJs.
Good for you, Jack.
They can be in the basement watching TV, playing video games in their pajamas, and they can still cancel their student loan debt. Doesn't that just make everyone so happy? And there was a really funny ad, by the way. We'll play some of this when we come back. It's Stop Biden's Bailout for Rich Kids. And they have all these workers saying, you know, I'm so glad I work two jobs so that I can pay for your business major. Although they did throw in theater majors, and I thought that was a little, that cut a little too close to home for me personally. We'll play some of this ad when we come back. And also, we're going to talk about J.D. Vance versus Tim Ryan and Bolduc versus Hassan. We've got all these cuts for you, so don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Biden's right. You should take my tax dollars to pay off your debts. My family will figure out how to get by with less. What's most important is we spare college graduates from any extra stress.
Wanna be a struggling artist? College is on me.
My kids don't need fancy things like school supplies or new shoes.
I work for you, theater major.
This shift is for you, business major. Go buy yourself that new car.
Enjoy your free ride. College is on me.
Tell Congress.
That's the American Action Network. And I saw Molly Hemingway tweeted out today and said, one of the rare times where sarcasm actually works in a political ad. And I would agree. It's a really good ad. And it shouldn't surprise anyone that this isn't going to be as easy as Joe Biden thought it was going to be. Because a lot of people don't even think this is legal, what he's trying to do. He's trying to cancel student loan debt. Or the way they like to phrase it now is usher in student loan forgiveness without going through Congress. And I just don't think that that is going to play. And on a similar note here, I just wanted to get this in a little local news for the Massachusetts listeners to remind you how bad Maura Healey is. Maura Healey floats free college plan for adults. With 3 weeks to go before the general election, Attorney General Maura Healey is out with a new workforce development plan, which would lean on the state's community colleges to provide free education to adult students. Again, nothing's free. Like, what is this idea that these things are just free? I know it's a really old expression and it's overused at this point. It's beaten like a dead horse, but there's no such thing as a free lunch. There really isn't. And the sooner people figure that out, the less soon the destruction of this country will occur. All right, now I do have to give you some shocking news. So gird your loins. This might surprise you. There's a new Harvard-Harris poll that shows Americans, that's right, people like you, people listening to this show, Americans care more about the economy and immigration than they do about January 6th. It should have a little asterisk in the Harvard-Harris study that says, except for Peter Strzok, Liz Cheney, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and, you know, a few liberals in your town who have love Trump's hate stickers on their car. Besides those people, most people are more worried about the economy and immigration. But this gives me a really good excuse to talk about January 6th, immigration, and the economy all in one segment. So I want to start with Peter Strzok, because this guy, he's one half of the Lovebird duo, and he never ceases to amaze me with his sliminess. The fact that he can even show his face. And maybe I'm wrong, because I'm 30 years old, so I don't really, my memory doesn't go that far back. But I feel like even 50 years ago, if you did what Peter Strzok did, you would at least have the dignity to, like, not be in the public eye anymore. You would at least have enough shame that you'd bow out. Maybe you'd still get away with it. Maybe you wouldn't go to jail. Like, maybe there's just no justice in this world. But if you were part of framing the president of the United States and trying to overthrow the president of the United States, the duly elected president of the United States, you would at least have enough shame afterwards to go away. But he doesn't have that. In fact, he wants to go on television. He wants to go on MSNBC and listen to this. I always say comparisons, Dwight Schrute said it best, comparisons are hard. And some things I definitely don't suggest, comparing anything to the Holocaust, comparing people to Hitler, which, by the way, Tulsi Gabbard just compared Joe Biden to Hitler. Not a good idea. Stop comparing people to Hitler. And comparing things to 9/11. Let's have, this is Peter Strzok, who definitely cares about January 6th more than the economy and more than immigration, despite what the polls may say, this is cut nine.
I think if you look at the scale in terms of the threat to democracy, I mean, 9/11 was a tragedy. We lost thousands of lives in a horrific way that we still mourn to this day. But when you look at something that is an attack on democracy, something that could actually bring about a fundamental change to American governance as we understand it, 9/11 is nothing compared to January 6th. And the fact that the FBI and the rest of the government, if they are not on the same sort of war footing that we were on, in the weeks and months and years after 9/11, shame on everyone.
You don't get to put shame on anyone, bro. Okay? No. We say shame on you. You don't get to say shame on anybody else. Imagine if you lost someone, which plenty of people in this country did on 9/11, and you have this smarmy puke on TV saying 9/11 was nothing compared to January 6th as far as overthrowing our democracy. And you know what else doesn't make sense about this? And I know I'm not the first person to make this point, but it is a really good point. It can't be both things. Like when it comes to the Second Amendment, maybe we'll talk to Toby about this. They always tell us, well, if you want to overthrow the government, you're going to need more than, you know, you're going to need more than the gun you have in your safe. You're going to need an F-15 if you want to overthrow the government. That's always the line from Joe Biden. Like anything that you want to do, your right to bear arms, it's never going to compete with what the government has. But at the same time, an insurrection where they call it an armed insurrection, but there were no arms. They didn't find any weapons. That was, we were on the brink. Like it was so close, you could taste it. Things were just about to turn into a banana republic when the guy with the horn showed up. Both of those things cannot make sense. You can't tell me that you really shouldn't worry about owning a weapon because you're never going to be able to stop anything with that anyway. And then also, oh, when the grandma showed up with the Trump flag wrapped around her and started walking around the rotunda, things were looking really dicey for a minute there. No, both those things don't make sense. Now, another aspect of this, which keeps getting thrown at Carrie Lake, and I love it. I love it. Keep throwing this at her, is the election denier claim. They love to use this. Like, oh, they were part of Donald Trump's big lie about January 6th. Because questioning an election, if you're a Democrat, is your right as an American. You know, it's your duty. You're protecting us against Russia and all the evil forces that were trying to weigh in on our election and tip the scales. But if you're a Republican and you question an election, you're part of a conspiracy theory. You're part of a big lie. You're part of trying to overthrow democracy. So,
Spoiler alert, Maggie Hassan pulled that with Baldock.
Oh, I'm shocked. Well, Maggie Hassan also in the debate said that she thought Joe Biden was fit and sharp. That should be the first telltale sign. You are not fit and sharp enough to be in office if you think he's fit and sharp. Okay, Maggie? But Carrie Lake keeps getting asked about election deniers. Take a listen to these cuts. This is cut 50.
Let's talk about election deniers. Here's 150 examples of Democrats denying election results. Oh, wow, look at this. This is from Joe Biden's press secretary. Reminder, Brian Kemp stole the gubernatorial election from Georgians and Stacey Abrams. Democrats saying that. Is that an election denier? Oh, look at this. Just heard Republican Ryan Costello said it would be difficult for Stacey Abrams to win because she lost her state bid, but yet she's still claiming she never lost. This is outright. Hillary Clinton, Trump is an illegitimate president. Is she an election denier? This one says, was the 2016 election legitimate? It now definitely is a question worth asking. That's the Los Angeles Times. So it's okay for Democrats to question elections, but it's not okay for Republicans. It's a crock of BS. Every one of you knows it. We have our freedom of speech, and we're not going to relinquish it to a bunch of fake news propagandists.
Yeah, and absolutely. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And she really hits it out of the park every time, as far as I can tell. Now, one thing I want to add in is when she got this folder from one of her staffers, from someone there, she asked the kid, he was 20 years old. She said, are you a reporter? And he said, no. And she said, well, you've done more research than any of the people here. I mean, she really knows how to work the camera and how to work the media. And to use the word again, it's working. It's working. Now, she's obviously going up against Katie Hobbs, which is difficult because Katie Hobbs doesn't want to debate. But there were some debates. There were some debates last night, and I want to get to them. And I want to focus on another part of this, because while the Democrats are fixated on January 6th, as that poll told us, more people are concerned with inflation and also immigration. And I want to talk about immigration right now, because I thought that J.D. Vance did a really great job of holding Tim Ryan's feet to the fire as far as his position on our border. Now, what Democrats like to do around election time is change it up depending on where they are. They go from being these big, you know, I'm for sanctuary cities, hate has no home here, no human is illegal. And then in the case of Tim Ryan, they like to walk it back, or Maggie Hassan. They like to sing a different tune. Oh, no, I'm for border security. And J.D. Vance wasn't going to let him get away with that. Let's take J.D. Vance cut 28.
So what Tim Ryan said about dealing with border security actually sounds okay, but it goes to the heart of why Tim Ryan has been a failed leader and would be a failed senator. You cannot honestly pretend to be a defender of border security when you have voted for amnesty multiple times in the Congress. You cannot pretend to be a defender of border security when you have voted against border wall funding multiple times. You know, members of Congress get to take somebody to the State of the Union address. And a few years ago, Tim Ryan took somebody to the State of the Union address, not somebody affected by the opioid problem, not a steel worker who lost his job because Tim Ryan didn't do his. He took an illegal alien. His entire 20 years in Congress, he has been anti-border security, and now we're paying the consequences for it. And my simple argument to Tim Ryan, or to especially people in the Mahoning Valley, is if you don't do your job, you don't deserve a promotion. Do your job on border security, Tim, then come and ask the people of Ohio for promotion to the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, and Bolduc also had some great points on this, which I will play. But I want to tell you that according to a report from the New York Post, the Biden administration actually pressured Democrat El Paso mayor not to declare a state of emergency over the city's migrant crisis. And this came to light because one of the city council members, Claudia Rodriguez, said, he told me the White House asked him not to. She had a private phone conversation. And so they're begging this guy, can you declare an emergency? And he's taking his orders from Joe Biden. And it looks bad for Joe Biden if they declare an emergency. So it's all about the optics for Democrats. And meanwhile, Republicans have to deal with the real life consequences while Democrats worry about the headlines. Dan, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan. Are you there, Dan?
Oh, yes. I didn't hear you, Grace. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I agree with you about elections. I'm about election integrity, and I'm a big believer that in all states with mail-in voting and early voting shouldn't be doing this, because we should do it in person. That's how the fraud begins, and we should be supporting Rayla Campbell, and Bill Gavin should debate her. And I have a real issue with that, because I've been talking to a lot of voters and putting up signs, and people are upset about it.
And you know what, Dan? I've said this before, but I think it's worth repeating. I am always, always, always 100% of the time pro-debate. I don't think there's ever a reason why you shouldn't debate someone. And I figured out, by the way, if anyone's wondering, last week we were talking about this, and I said to Emma Foley, who works here, I said, what's the word I'm thinking of where Democrats use an excuse for why they don't want to debate? And we figured it out. Emma found the word I was trying to think of, legitimize. They always say, I don't want to legitimize Donald Trump by debating him. I don't want to legitimize Carrie Lake by debating her. That's not up to you. You debate, you bring your points, you bring your platform, you bring your agenda, and you let the voters decide. See, you don't get to be the person who decides who's legitimate and who's not. Okay? You're not the Ministry of Truth. You're running for office. We get to decide who wins. That's the voters who get to decide who has the better opinions or policies or agenda. And I always think people should debate, no matter what. The economy has been unpredictable, and we all feel it. We're going to get back to that in a moment. But now is not the time to forget our fallen heroes. Despite what is happening around us, we still have so many reasons to be a grateful nation. And in large part, we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and our freedoms. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 17th. You can join in the mission to remember our fallen heroes, honor those who currently serve and their families, and have the opportunity to teach younger generations the value of their freedoms. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America America sponsors a fresh handmade balsam fir wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The circular wreath made with 10 balsam bouquets is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed ground at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to ceremonies at over 3,500 participating locations across the country and overseas. Please sponsor a veterans wreath today and show your appreciation for our veterans. Go to wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's wreathsacrossamerica.org. It's a really, really great organization, and the people that work there are just wonderful, and they really care a lot about this. So please donate now. That's wreathsacrossamerica.org. We will be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Plan your winter getaway now. At the Nauset Beach Inn, ocean view rooms are priced from just $119.99 during the week and $149.99 a night on weekends. That's November through March. Book online at NauseaBeachInn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think NBC will apologize to Gisele Fetterman?
No, I hope not. I hope not, because Dasha Burns did a good job with this reporting, and just because it upset Gisele Fetterman is not a reason why NBC should apologize. They have any scruples, which they don't, but if they have any left, then no, they won't apologize.
61% of the audience agrees no. 39% think they will.
All right, let's go to the callers here. Dan, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
Thanks for taking the call. You know, Trump has a lot of in common with the character John Wick, where everybody's trying to kill John Wick for every reason in the world. It reminds me what politicians are doing to Donald Trump. They just can't kill him. And unfortunately, he just keeps on rising, and they just have to keep on going further and further and further, breaking the law, because this guy just won't get out of the way. And now they've got themselves so far into it. I mean, let's face it, 2 impeachments, the insurrection, you know, the dossier. You know, there's so many things that he just keeps on surviving through. And now they're in a position where they're panicked because they've done so much wrong trying to put him under that they can't deny it.
Yeah.
And everybody that's got...
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Dan, but you just made me think of something. It's almost like when someone, and it doesn't have to be a woman, it can also be a man, but when you start dating someone and you change so much of your personality to please them, and then once the relationship ends, you've kind of burned all these bridges from people who don't like you anymore because you turned into somebody else. The Democrats, I'm not saying they were ever great, but they used to stand for a few things, and now they don't stand for anything because they changed who they were to be the opposite of Donald Trump. And the truth is that a lot of what Trump stood for, as I always say, was just really common sense stuff. It was America first. So in their way of trying to pretzel bend themselves to be the opposite of everything Trump is, they've become the opposite of America first. They've become the opposite of what a lot of voters actually need and like and want in a candidate. So I think you're absolutely right about that. I do want to play a little bit of Don Bolduc. He was going up against Senator Maggie Hassan in a debate. It was a WMUR debate. And I liked what he had to say about border policy. Can I have cut 38, please?
I want Mayorkas fired. I want him out. I want pressure put on the President of the United States every single day to do the right thing, reinforce our border patrol. She just voted against reversing the 87,000 IRS agents and the $80 billion. And the bill would have taken that personnel and that money and put it in the border patrol where they need it. Our northern borders and other ports of entry are hurting as well because they got to flood the zone with people they don't have in the south. Policy's wrong and it needs to be changed.
And you know, one thing I'll add in here is Dan said Trump keeps coming back. You know, he keeps coming back. He keeps coming back stronger. But I think he also showed a lot of people like Bolduc and Carrie Lake and Ron DeSantis that strong plays. People like strong. People like fighters. And so in that way, he's kind of re-energized a bunch of mini Trumps to carry on the torch, whether or not he runs in 2024 or not. We'll be right back with Toby Leary with 2A Tuesdays. Call in now. It's Grace Curley Show.